And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland 1 minute before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. In 1 hour, Chris Andre will be hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder, featuring an interview with Chicago attorney Flint Taylor, who has worked against police abuse for many years. He'll talk about his recent article, Blood on Their Hands, The Racist History of Police Unions. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with performance artist Miranda July about her debut novel, The First Bad Man. And at 11:45, Don Merrill speaks with Portland author Carolyn Miller about her new play called Women on the Scarlet Beast, the story of three Catholic women dealing with issues of feminism and dogma across the hall from her in the 60s. That's all coming up this morning right after Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell, right after this on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Piña Flamenco, Eric and Encarnacion's Duo Flamenco, on Saturday, January 31st at 8 p.m. at Cafe Artichoke in Portland. Eric and Encarnacion's Duo Flamenco will present traditional and original compositions and dance numbers, including new, unreleased songs rooted in the deep tradition of flamenco. Again, that's Piña Flamenco, Eric and Encarnacion's Duo Flamenco, on Saturday, January 31st at 8 p.m. at Cafe Artichoke, 3130 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information about the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. Sadly, the U.S. war propaganda machine has achieved its long-term goal, that of a docile U.S. population that is uninterested in the moral and even economic penalties of imperialism. This has been a long time in the making. There was organized opposition to the U.S. war on Spain, 1898. People marched in the streets against U.S. participation in the First World War, 1914. Of course, there were massive rallies against the wars in Vietnam and Iraq during all of these conflicts. The war propaganda flew thick and fast. There was a caricature or a theme to rally support for each war, for each action. In the popular imagination, in 1914, the Huns bayoneted babies. And the Vietnam War, red dominoes threatened to fall and force us all into re-education camps where we'd be shouted at by loudspeakers. And Saddam's mythical weapons of mass destruction were going to choke us with nerve gas. They were going to be on a barge right in the Willamette. Remember that? But the most successful campaign of all has been the imaginary Arab Superman, the Arab menace, the Islamic menace, not because its core racist imagery is much different from previous campaigns. I mean, just look at the racist propaganda against Japan for the Second World War, but because the combination of false flag attacks and imposed ritual has been very psychologically effective. Hats off to the architects of the psychological war on you, on your brain. Naomi Klein named it the shock doctrine. We were not to question the official story of the 9/11 attacks, not to question standing in our socks in airports even today, lest we be whisked to the unfortunately all too real airport dungeons. You do know about the airport dungeons. We are not to question the doctrine of the unending war against terror, whatever terror is defined to be this month. To be sure, we have had our demonstrations and our massive earnest efforts against the Iraq and Afghan wars, but we the people have been bamboozled and shouted down to the point that the Pentagon is now able to wage war in Yemen. Our stooges, the Israelis, are able to wage war on Gaza. We can wage war on Pakistan, on Iraq, and after 13 years in Afghanistan, the streets are quiet. All they have to do, all the Pentagon has to do, is blow up people and deploy troops. And they just say that the war is over. It's not a war. The war is not a war. Blow up villages with a remote-controlled flying machine and somehow it's not a war. I say we cannot allow the Pentagon to murder people across the globe any longer. They do it in our name. It is done for the profits of the obscenely rich. They say it is for freedom and against terror, but it is actually terror and horror wielded against freedom. We need a massive trillion-dollar mobilization against climate change, and we have instead a massive trillion-dollar mobilization against global human rights. Close the Pentagon. Shut down the Pentagon to save humanity and life on this planet. Shut down minimum wage capitalism. $15 or fight. Shut down racist policing. Black Lives Matter. It's all of a piece. Unaccountable war aggression. Unstoppable industrial polluting climate change. Unending poverty and hopelessness. Unending police terror are the agenda of the rich. We outnumber the billionaires 1,000 to 1, 1,000 to 1, and we should shut them down. There should be no billionaires in a democratic society. Millionaires, sure. I think there should be a class of millionaires. That's how much I believe in prosperity. I think I'm happy when people are doing just fine. $1 million, man, that's great. In 2014, $2015. Billionaires, no. Billionaires are kings. There is a reason kings were bad. They're anti-democratic for a start. Now I want to back this up with a little bit of information. And today I have an hour to talk on the radio. That means talk radio. And I plan to have a good time talking to you, finding out things, working things out. Number to call is 503-231-8187. That's for KBOO Portland. You can talk on the air. You can speak with 20-something thousand watts behind your voice and across the world on the World Wide Web by calling 503-231-8187 with your comments or questions. From Radio Havana, Cuba, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says the Israeli military is obviously supporting terrorist groups in Syria by conducting airstrikes in the crisis-hit country. Quoting Assad, whenever we make advances in some place, the Israelis attack in order to undermine the army. It's very clear, end quote. He also said, quoting, that's why some in Syria joke, how can you say that al-Qaeda doesn't have an air force? They have the Israeli air force, end quote. His remarks came a week after Israeli aircraft fired two missiles at the village of Qunaitre in the Syrian Golan Heights bordering Lebanon. Six members of the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah and a senior commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps were killed in the attack. Iran's Brigadier General Mohammad Ali al-Adadi had traveled to Syria to provide consultation and to help the Syrian government and nation counter the Takfiri terrorists in the country. The Tel Aviv regime has carried out several airstrikes in Syria since the start of the nearly four-year-old foreign-sponsored militancy there. Damascus says Tel Aviv and its Western allies are aiding the extremist terror groups operating inside Syria since March 2011. And that, as I was saying, is from Radio Havana, Cuba. Now, that information you should take when you look at today's news that Israel has retaliated and plans to retaliate further for the rocketing of an Israeli patrol, that was in retaliation for the strike that I just read about here on Radio Havana, Cuba. And, well, I read about it here on KBOO from text from Radio Havana, Cuba. Good to be clear about these things. And that's the tit for tat that's going on right now, which threatens to blow up into a war. Lebanon and Israel. Now, I'd like to bring to you part of some text that I got from globalresearch.ca. The U.S. claims to be waging war against the Islamic State, whose various al-Baghdadi leaders do not exist, they write. In 2007, the New York Times revealed that a long-vilified Islamic State leader, Abdullah Rashid al-Baghdadi, did not actually exist, and that the creation of this fictional character was a ruse to obfuscate the rule of foreigners and the creation and perpetuation of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Brigadier General Kevin Bergner, the chief American military spokesman, said the elusive Baghdadi was actually a fictional character whose audio tape declarations were provided by an elderly actor named Abu Abdullah al-Naima. In an article titled "Leader of Al-Qaeda Group in Iraq was Fictional," the U.S. military says the New York Times reports that the ruse was devised by a man named al-Masri, the Egyptian-born leader of al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, who is trying to mask the dominant role that foreigners play in that insurgent organization. The plot was to invent Baghdadi, a figure whose very name establishes his Iraqi pedigree, install him as the head of a front organization called the Islamic State of Iraq, and then arrange for Masri to swear allegiance to him. Ayman al-Zawahiri, Osama bin Laden's deputy, sought to reinforce the deception by referring to Baghdadi in his video and internet statements. The admission by U.S. military leaders reported in the New York Times reveals that the so-called Islamic State was nothing more than an appendage of al-Qaeda, with al-Qaeda itself directly armed, funded, and backed by stalwart U.S. allies, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. Despite the New York Times and Pentagon's admissions, the entire ruse has continued on an exponential scale. And just speaking for myself, the ruse has continued on an exponential scale because, as I was saying, this psychological operation works just fine. Its target, you, your brain. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. And you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Al-Qaeda's current presence in Iraq and Syria and their leading role in the fight against the Iranian-leading governments of Damascus and Baghdad are the present-day manifestation of a Western criminal conspiracy exposed as early as 2007, revealed by two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Cy Hirsch in his 2007 article, "The Redirection. Is the administration's new policy benefiting our enemies in the war on terrorism?" It was stated explicitly that to undermine Iran, which is predominantly Shiite, the Bush administration has decided, in effect, to reconfigure its priorities in the Middle East. In Lebanon, the administration has cooperated with the Saudi Arabian government, which is Sunni Muslim, in clandestine operations that are intended to weaken Hezbollah, the Shiite organization that is backed by Iran. The U.S. has also taken part in clandestine operations aimed at Iran and its ally Syria. A byproduct of these activities has been the bolstering of Sunni extremist groups that espouse a militant vision of Islam, and which are hostile to America and sympathetic to al-Qaeda. While the New York Times attempted to shift blame to the sponsors in Pakistan in 2007, the paper itself, along with many others across the West, vast media monopolies, have since then admitted that America's closest allies in the Middle East are behind al-Qaeda in Syria and Iraq, not Pakistan. Hirsch would go on to document in his 9-page report the West and its regional partners' intentional engineering of a devastating regional sectarian bloodbath. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch on KBOO Portland. You know, we're coming up on another membership drive in just a week or so, and I'm looking forward to that. I always do. It's a dynamic time to come here and to raise funds on the station. It's fun, in short. But I always learn a lot, and I always meet people. So I just want to let you know that's coming up, and you can be a part of it. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Mark is on the air.
Hey, Teresa.
Hey.
Enjoy your show. It's a great one.
Thanks.
I'd like to point out that, you know, in this country, we have numerous congressmen that have dual citizenship in the state of Israel. There must be about 25 of them. And isn't it interesting that Mr. Netanyahu is coming to address the Congress when you have 25 dual citizens of the United States? And not only that, but when this Homeland Security guy, Chertoff, was installed, he too was a dual citizenship.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's bring that up. I think this is a good day for it.
And another thing, you know, where is this going to stop? Are we going to have the Supreme Court going to have dual citizenship? So, you know, there's something funny going on here, and it's been going on for a long time.
Funny is a nice way to put it. Treasonous is a word. Well, there is a special relationship between the U.S. and Israel. That's the nice way to put it. And the let me see if I can phrase it in a way that's closer to the actual truth.
Well,
the U.S. has a relationship with Israel that allows it to project its power into the Middle East, and Israel has a relationship with the U.S. that allows it to project its power into American wealth.
Yeah, well, which is a dog and which is a tail?
Really?
You know, it's and the other thing about all these Arab organizations, Al-Qaeda and all this, you know, it's all just a big ruse. I mean, the whole idea is you create chaos, and then out of that chaos, then you get to get done what you want to get done. What Israel wants to get done is they want to control the Middle East.
I think what you're saying is absolutely correct, and so as long as you're on the air, let's you and I work it out, because let's create a counter-propaganda. Let's create, right now, you and I, let's make something solid in an ideological sense, if anything can be solid in an ideological sense. Let's come up with how we're going to phrase this. Okay, so as you said, the war on these various terror organizations is a ruse. We need a bit more information than that to convince people, and I think we can do it right on the spot. We were talking about Al-Qaeda in Iraq and ISIS, basically the same thing. They say they're split up, right? But they're not split up.
It's all CIA, and then all part of this too is, you know, like they got their hands into Ukraine. You know, what they do is they create chaos, and then they step in with a puppet dictator, and you know, then
right on. So let's boil it down into a sentence. It would be something like, and I'm really stumbling here because I'm really just trying to create this on the spot. The sentence would be something like, in order to attack Syria and Iraq, the Middle East in general, the U.S. Has created a fictional organization that is actually funded by the Saudis, the U.S., Jordan, and is staffed with troops internationally, and it's from the former Iraqi Mahdi army is involved in this as well. Sunni insurgents who are brought to bear against Shiite forces in order to divide and conquer a chunk of Syria and a chunk of Iraq. So let me take that and make that into a smaller sentence. Let's see. Okay, so the U.S., using its proxies, the Saudis, the Qataris, the, if you say it that way, the Jordanians, have created an army on false pretenses under this imaginary Baghdadi in order to create a division between Syria and Iraq. Is that, now we're getting a little closer, right? How would you phrase
that? Yeah. Well, I don't know. What I would say is that, and the other thing is that it just seems to me like they're laughing down their sleeves at us all. Everyone.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And you know what occurred to me just now is when you were talking about Israel and other things you said. It occurred to me that part of this is the confusion that has been engendered in the American public. I mean, in order to go out in the street and march and say, you know, we'll have none of this war, we need to be able to define the war. So what is the phrase? We'll just keep working on this. And I'll ask further callers to come up with a phrasing for this.
I don't know. And the unmitigated gall of this guy, Netanyahu, to come over well, I guess Boehner invited him, but I kind of think that Netanyahu put a bug in Boehner's ear and said, look, you really want to put it to Obama? Let me speak to the Congress.
Well, that's That says a lot, doesn't it? I mean, that's disrespectful to the American public. I mean, to the American president.
It's awful. I don't understand how people can put up with it, but I guess if you don't even care about it, it's
well, let's put it in a different way. Supposing Boehner had invited Putin over to negotiate separately.
Yeah.
Boehner and Putin together negotiating. Would the American public think that was okay? Would people maybe scratch their heads and say, hey, I thought the president did that sort of thing?
I don't know. He could have invited Assad to come over and speak to the Congress.
Yeah, he could. I mean, what's the difference?
I don't know.
Okay, hey, thanks very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I appreciate your contributions there. Time is 9:19. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Number to call with your comments or questions is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I am opposed to U.S. imperial war. I am opposed to U.S. imperial war on the Middle East. I'm opposed to the U.S. imperial war on Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, there's a chant coming up there somewhere. And Ken is on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wayne Morris, remember him, is a former senator from Oregon, had a great comment. Speaking in the Congress, he said, I'm opposed to war. And if you can find an audio clip of it, it's pretty moving.
He was the only senator to vote against the Gulf of Tonkin Declaration, bringing the U.S. into the Vietnam War.
Yeah, great. Anyway, I have a kind of variety of things here, and I hope they're sort of in line with what your previous caller said. I love your pronunciation of Boehner. Anyway, I read that actually this whole idea was proposed by Netanyahu to the ambassador Ron Dermer, and Dermer is the guy who approached Boehner and put the idea in his head to invite Netanyahu to speak. And online now, there's a couple websites that are calling for people to call their Congress people and say, you know, we hope you don't, we don't want you to show up there. And so I don't know how successful that will be, but
we shall see, and it's certainly worth participating in. Well, and Netanyahu represents everything that has gone wrong with Israel. And, you know, I should say that Israel is a complex country, and there are a great many people in Israel who are appalled by Netanyahu and all that he represents, by his Likud, by his imperialism, by his racism, which is just shocking and severe. And as you might expect in a U.S.-connected, war-based economy like Tel Aviv's, there's a hell of a lot of racism involved in the whole imperial effort there, and it needs to be called out.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry, but you know, God love them, but Jews are not better than der Schwarzers.
All right. Can we trade some websites? I mean, I love that. I just went online and checked out Radio Havana, Cuba, and it looks like a great site.
RC.cu. You'll see that it goes down an awful lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Have you ever gone to MondoWeiss.net?
I have not.
Oh, I recommend it highly.
Mondo, could you spell it for me? M-O-N-D-O?
Yeah, MondoWeiss.net.
White World?
I think that's, yeah, right, White World.
if we mix Italian and German, it seems like White World.
It's a fabulous site, and the best part of it is a commentary section is filled with people who are terribly, very knowledgeable. For instance, yesterday there were people that commenting on one of their lead articles who were watching a Arabic news TV program in the East, in the Middle East, called TV Mayadeen, as the attack against the Israeli incursion in Golan Heights was going on. That's pretty exciting because another site is, I recommend them, but Another site is something called Wall Street on Parade. I don't know if you've ever, you're familiar with that?
No, I'm not. And I just pulled up Mondo Weiss on my incredibly slow computer. I was holding off doing my initial intro to the show on the mic because my computer, poor thing, is just like could not come up. It was giving me a blank screen. But it has pulled up Mondo Weiss. And say this other one, Wall Street on Parade?
Wall Street on Parade, all one word. And that's like a peek behind the video veil of
Wall Street manipulation
put out by the financial industry.
A Citizen Guide to Wall Street by Pam Martins and Russ Martins.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful.
Okay. I'll check that out as well. Thank you very much for those.
Oh, I thank you for mentioning the site you go to. I've gone to Mike Chosadowski's site. Global Researchers, I think, is a wonderful place.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Occasionally I find, and this is true across the web, but occasionally I find that things are rather hastily written and apparently not edited at all on that site. But I'm willing to forgive that.
Sure.
And the occasional just, loose cannon rant, because they do provide a great deal of useful information.
It's much better than being deliberately lied to.
Hell yes. Hell yes. Good point.
Okay, so I have one last item here I'd like to throw by you.
All right.
And that is, every reasonable poll I read say that people are for, generally speaking, the American electorate is for raising the minimum wage, they're for a single-payer health plan, they're against the war, they want to reduce the military budget and have it distributed to humanitarian causes like education and so on and so forth. And none of that ever happens.
Of course not, because we're being ruled. This is not democracy.
Right,
and you're right to say a reasonable poll, because, you know, if you want to control people, just get a major polling operation to go out and say, do you support terror? And people will say no. And they say, well, see, the American people want more war.
Yeah, right. Okay. So anyway, the solutions to that is not voting. We know that. Well, let me say, I think that's the case because as some very famous person said, if voting made a difference, they would have made it illegal.
Oh, I agree with that. And yet, I vote, and I check carefully on votes, and I raise hell when people are throwing the votes. And let me tell you, that is happening right now in Oregon and across the nation. And the Republicans threw the vote to win their majority. Read gregpalace.com. But what I say is vote, and don't kid yourself that that's going to change anything. Vote.
Right.
And understand that that's one tiny little lever that you've been allowed to have. And if you really want to change things, we got to do everything else.
Okay. I totally agree with you. I've never missed a vote. And one of the other options is armed resistance, and I don't recommend that at all because they've got all the bullets and all the guns and so on and so forth.
Oh, now that we've got an hour, let's talk about that too, okay? Ooh, that's a juicy one. We want to prance carefully around that, don't we? Because we don't want to be hauled off violently at the point of a gun to a jail. Why do the billionaires get all the violence?
Oh, that's what they buy with their bucks.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, so I have a third solution.
Okay, what's that?
Which, I don't know, maybe you'd like to think about it. I hope it's not something that will bring down the NSA on us any more than they have come already. But we pay the salaries of Congress people and administration, and if we stop paying them, what are they going to do? I mean, it's like oil in a car. If you don't, or gas, you don't get the gas, you can't drive the car, right?
And so, how do you propose stopping
things? How about a tax revolt?
Tax revolt is a thing. How would that work?
Well, I believe, although I certainly am on shaky grounds here, I believe that one of the reasons you can not be compelled to pay taxes is because you're opposed to it on religious grounds. That is to say, I don't believe in killing people, and I don't want my money to go towards killing people.
Well, that brings up the whole tax resistance thing, and that is a tactic, and it has an effect. And, why not go for that if you think that that's the right thing to do? I have... when I look at my own tax paying, I think to myself, well, I've got my name and address. And I've often thought that I could get into tax revolt when I'm reasonably certain I'm not going to live a lot longer, because it takes them a while to get around to really punishing you. And I thought, well, in my last few years of my life, if I can time it right, I'll say, no, I won't give you any more taxes and make a big deal about it. And then when they come around to collect them, they'll have to get them out of my, you know, incineration urn.
Is that the same one you're drinking beer out of now before
yeah.
you use it?
That's right.
Well, that's my little bit for the day, and thanks so much for your program.
Thank you very much for calling in and bringing up all those things. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Violence. We don't want violence. I want to say something about that. And yeah, I do have to be careful about it. But it's something like this. The stakes are unimaginably high. Right now, we are being ruled by billionaire class. And this isn't just rhetoric. This is my analysis as close as I can make it. We are being ruled by a billionaire class, uses propaganda, and uses intimidation, and uses false flags, and uses psychological tricks like that deal where you stand in your socks in the airport. That's not a little doodah. That's not a mistake. There's a reason you have to stand in your socks in the airport, and that is putting you in your place and telling you that you are the enemy. You are dangerous. You have to be checked for every inch of your body, because you're bad, because you might resist the billionaires and the billionaire rule. And the billionaires are ruling us, and the billionaires say, look, we're making lots of money and we're insane, and we need to make lots more money. So the pollution regime that is, and by the way, this year, I think I'll just go ahead and be a swami and say, this year, the world is going to pay for global warming. Just you watch. Just you watch till Northern Hemisphere summer rolls around and see what happens. This year, oh yeah.